Welcome everybody to another episode, Hockey in the Classroom, episode 4. As always, your co-host Matt Wallasek, joined by my other co-host Tony Dallas. How are we doing today?
Doing well, doing well. Enjoying some nice wintry feeling weather down here in Big D.
Yeah, well, we wanted to share the wealth with you guys down there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But yeah, we're excited today. You another week of college hockey. Lot happening this past weekend, and we got a lot coming up this weekend. So it's going to be a fun episode here. Tony, I think, right off the gate, let's just jump into this Atlantic hockey here.
Yeah, Atlantic hockey is pretty top heavy, just like we've kind of talked about in the past. Robert Morris on top of the conference early with 15 points. RIT and Sacred Heart really aren't far behind with 14 and 12 respectively. Team I really want to talk about in this conference though is RIT. They right now appear to be the top of the class of the early part of the season. They're sitting just outside the top 20. They're actually the first team receiving votes outside of the top 20. So they would be number 21, I guess. But they are undefeated in conference play, 7-1-2 overall. Only loss coming in the Icebreaker Championship game to Ohio State. They did beat Bowling Green in the semifinals of that tournament in overtime. However, recently they do have a couple ties to Holy Cross and Niagara. They did not pick up the extra points in either of those games. However, RIT does look the class of that conference to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Robert Morris sitting at the top of the conference. Conference play just early on this season, so not a lot that we can really judge upon what we have in front of us here. At least, who do we think is going to be the front runner here in the conference and whatnot? RIT is a great program. 7-1, like you mentioned, overall 4-0-2 in conference. Sacred Heart just right underneath them with Robert Morris leading the way. The school that I am, it is my team of the week actually too for Atlantic Hockey. Air Force kind of getting their feet under them again offensively. 4 in the conference, a couple big wins this weekend against Bentley, 4-2 on Friday, 3-2 on Saturday. Bentley, who is just right underneath them in the conference, they're 2-5 in the conference, 3-6 overall. Bentley, though, 22 goals for, 22, 26 against. So Bentley's not a well-established team right now, but Air Force, who struggled a lot early this so far this season, to get a sweep in the conference against Bentley, I think really will get that program going forward, like we've seen them in the last couple seasons. A team that I'm a little worried about is AIC, because I believe early on in our show on I believe it was our first episode. You mentioned AIC is the team to look out for, and right now struggling across the board here. They're in the middle of the pack, but it's like we've said last week and kind of all season so far, the Atlantic Hockey, we will start seeing this trend of top-heavy conference, and who we kind of can see right now is not going to really bode well in the conference and in college hockey when we look at Canisius, Niagara, Mercyhurst, and Holy Cross right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think at this point, American has they really haven't played a lot of games. They had last week off. Prior to this, they split with Army. So we'll see if they can get it going. They've got a solid team. Let's see if they can pick it up. But I think for me, the big game to watch out for this weekend is definitely Sacred Heart at RIT, second and third in the standings early on, and a pretty big game early on in the conference.
I agree. Sacred Heart versus RIT is definitely the matchup in Atlantic Hockey to watch this weekend. Sacred Heart, like we said, 3 and Robert, excuse me, RIT number 2, 14 and 12 points respectively in the conference. And really, the difference maker for me in this matchup is Sacred Heart, 32 goals for overall, 28 against in the conference though, 23-4, 12 against. RIT's 19 and 11. Overall, though, they're 30 and 17. Sacred Heart overall out of this conference, giving up a lot of goals, but in conference is toe-to-toe right now with RIT. I expect actually this game to be a one-goal game come down the line both Friday and Saturday. Another game that I actually like for this conference that I think can really not so much change the way of the conference, but can really get a program either going here or can really kind of hurt them is maybe a little bit of a trap game this weekend. AIC at Mercyhurst. Mercyhurst is at the bottom of the conference, not performing well offensively right now or defensively. And, you know, like you said, AIC really hasn't played a lot of hockey yet with having the week off last week, and really needs to get in the conference play this week. So, I you know, this could be a weekend for AIC to kind of, against a struggling Mercyhurst, to build some confidence in the conference and get this going and you know, work their way up towards the top three in this conference.
Absolutely. I was definitely thinking the same thing. I mean, when you compare them to Robert Morris right now, it appears that I believe AIC's played three games in conference while Robert Morris has already played six. So a lot of points on the table for AIC to make up early on.
Yeah. And, you know, long season ahead of us still. I mean, we are only in what, the second week of November here. And a lot of conference play just got underway last week across the board. And Atlantic Hockey, like, as you just said, I mean, Canisius only has two games under their belt. Same with Mercyhurst. AIC's next with three. So, and we got teams here that, so 6 and 7 games already in the conference play. So, I mean, it's very lopsided right now because we don't have an equal amount of game plays in conference play. Not to say, though, that's the difference maker why one team is at the bottom and one's at the top. But, you know, it's like you said, you know, we got a lot of points left on the table here. And we could see a big change here in the next few weeks as conference play continues to get underway here.
Absolutely. Best time of the year is conference play, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree 100%. Shifting gears here a little bit, ECAC, this conference, not, you know, is intriguing to me for a lot of reasons. You know, Ivy League, was it last weekend got started?
I think they're a few weeks in now.
But the amount of goals we are seeing in ECAC play is kind of astounding to me. I mean, I know you've harped on Clarkson all season, and I like Clarkson as well in this conference. Two teams that are standing out to me, though, Harvard and Cornell, their first couple weeks, the offense is just there. 17 goals so far for Harvard, 19 for Cornell, and giving up next to none. Harvard's only given up 5 goals so far through 3 games, and Cornell's only given up 3 through 4, or I'm sorry, 7 goals through 4 games overall, 3-2 in the conference play, and both are at the top of the conference, and very well deserved so far this season as they get underway in the ECAC. And Clarkson, you know, as like, you know, we've mentioned, is right there on the stepping stone, you know, pushing towards the top of the conference.
Yeah, and I mean, nationwide, the three teams that you mentioned, I actually have Harvard as probably the team that I think had the best week. Some really good wins for Harvard. They beat Princeton. They beat Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac was one of those teams that I felt had a very – they missed some opportunities this week, had a disappointing week. The ECAC has three teams in the top 13 in the country. Cornell comes in ranked, I believe, number 3 in the country. Clarkson is number 7, and then Harvard comes in at number 13. So, very, very top heavy conference. They have a couple teams receiving votes as well, Quinnipiac and Brown. They definitely a very top heavy conference.
I agree. I was heavy on Princeton. I believe it was last week, after getting a big win last week. Who was it? I mean, they tied St. Cloud one day, and did they beat St. Cloud on another day? I don't think they did, but to tie St. Cloud, who, you know, is a great, great program in the NCHC, I thought was a good stepping stone for Princeton. And basically this past weekend has kind of fell apart a little bit here, as now they're at the bottom of the ECAC, overall record 1-2-1. So I think I had a little bit of premature when I was excited to see Princeton at the top there. But, you know, like you said, we got a lot of teams on the top of the ECAC that are doing extremely well and are being recognized not only in the conference, but like you just mentioned, nationally across the country. A sleeper team, I think, out there, Brown, Dartmouth are great programs. Dartmouth not offensively strong, at least right now, but I can see this, you know, they have a program, I believe, that they can really make a run in the ECAC here. Though it will be tough with the likes of Clarkson, RPI, Cornell, and Harvard, at least right now in the top four. You know, Quinnipiac, unfortunately, at the bottom. They're 4-4-1 overall right now, and that's a program that's just struggling after many successful seasons in the past. My opinion, I think they're kind of in a rebuilding, but I did read a couple articles in the last week or so where they're claiming that they are not rebuilding. So I'm sure that is up for anybody's opinion. At least right now, it looks like they are, because offensively they are struggling. But the ECAC, you know, this is not a one team conference right now. So this, and it's still early, like as we keep mentioning. So this is going to get more and more intriguing. I'm just loving the offensive output from this conference so far early in the season.
It definitely makes fun hockey to watch. And noting on that Princeton St. Cloud series last week, Princeton tied and then got the win. So,
Okay, so they did have a big weekend.
yeah, against St. Cloud.
Against St. Cloud. I mean, you know, I mentioned the team of the week in the last conference, Atlantic Hockey. My team of the week was Harvard. Just because, I mean, I know they played Quinnipiac, who is not playing well, like as I just mentioned, but Harvard came out lights out, 3-0 Friday, and then putting up seven, giving up two on Saturday. That's a big offensive weekend for a Harvard team that just got underway with the other Ivy League schools. You know, 2-3 weeks ago, and while the other teams in the nation have already been in play for over a month, so that they're my team of the week. What matchups are you looking forward to this weekend in this conference?
So I want to talk about scheduling in this conference real quick. I kind of
Okay.
like it, but it's a pain when I'm trying to do research and get my notes together for this podcast, because they like to have different matchups every night pretty much. So Friday nights, so I look at this one. Friday night it's Harvard at Brown. The next night Harvard will play, I believe, Yale. But it's kind of cool to see two different matchups, different nights, rather than just a series. It can make for some good coaching, and you can't just get comfortable for night two. But yeah, Harvard at Brown Friday night's one of the games I'm really excited for. Brown's just sitting outside the top 20. Harvard after having a great week, but maybe the game of the week in college hockey this week is another matchup Friday night in the ECAC, and that is number three Cornell taking on number seven Clarkson.
Yeah, that's the one I had circled on my notes here. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned into the scheduling part, because I love the scheduling part of it and I hate it at the same time for the exact same reasons that you just mentioned. It makes figuring out how a team did, you know, a little bit more difficult, because I'm looking down my list here and I go, okay, they played this team Friday and I'm looking for that same team Saturday and that's not there. But it, you know, it makes it fun for college hockey. It's the same with how I love home and homes. It's just the atmosphere. You go beat up on a team maybe at their arena, and then they're coming to beat up on you at your home barn. So I mean, I think that really makes college hockey a lot more fun when it comes to the scheduling part of it like that. Another matchup though that have circled on my list is just Harvard Yale on Saturday. I mean, Harvard Yale, we know, is just a big rivalry no matter what. And in recent years in college hockey, we've seen a lot of great games come from that weekend. So Harvard Yale Saturday, Harvard's at Yale. That is my other game that I am intrigued to see how that one finishes, especially with how hot Harvard is offensively. And Yale kind of struggling defensively right now. So I do think Harvard's going to come out with the win, unfortunately, here. But I don't expect it to be as big as maybe others are thinking. I think Harvard hopefully didn't use all that offense last weekend. We'll see. But that's an intriguing matchup just with the two histories of that school.
I had that one down as well. It's kind of anytime you get these rivalries, throw out the records, throw everything else out. It's fun. It's fun. Love rivalries.
I mean, and then real quickly too, before we switch gears here, big news in the ECAC, St. Lawrence losing their captain for the season. Tony, we can agree in any sport, when you lose your captain, doesn't matter if you're at the bottom or the top of the standings, it affects the morale of the team tremendously. In hockey especially, at least in my opinion, when you're losing that captain, it can really change the morale in the locker room and on the ice. You know, this guy is captain for a reason, born leader, is talking in the locker room, helping coaching the younger guys. So when you're losing that player for the season, even for a couple of weeks, it really sheds a light on the team, and hopefully they can kind of rally around him as he's out for the season. We do wish him the best, hopefully a quick recovery here. It's a big loss for St. Lawrence. St. Lawrence is a program that every year they're a little bit up and down, but they do fight in the ECAC. So that is a big loss, in my opinion, for St. Lawrence and the ECAC there. Hopefully he will be able to bounce back quickly.
Yeah, quick recovery you want to him.
All right. I'll let you take the lead on this one. Where are we going next in college hockey here?
Let's go out west a little bit, and let's hit up the WCHA. WCHA, I'm looking at as a conference that has a clear top dog and maybe the top team in the USCHL rankings right now, in Minnesota State. I think this is a team that's pretty much going to stay between 1-4 all year, probably going to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament come March. I really like Minnesota State, great body of work, great team. And WCHA is kind of one of those conferences that has a clear top team and then a few good teams, and then a few teams at the bottom that just, they're not going to compete in the country this year. So Minnesota State, very, very impressed with them. They got a sweep at Tech last week. But then Northern Michigan is a team that I looked at this week as they kind of missed an opportunity with St. Cloud State. They got a tie with St. Cloud on Friday, but then lost in overtime on Saturday. So both close games. St. Cloud's a good team. We're just ranked last week, and obviously in a tough conference. But yeah, I was hoping for more out of Northern this week. The matchup that I was most looking forward to, though, was at Alaska and Arizona State. Alaska got a split with Arizona State. It's always tough going up to the last frontier up there, and we saw that. I think you posted it on Twitter how Arizona State's bus got stuck in the snow and they had to push it out. You don't see a lot of snow in Tempe. But Arizona State rebounded well in night two and got the shutout against Alaska.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. Minnesota State right now is the top dog in this conference. And real quickly, the scores this past weekend. Ferris State losing, getting swept by Western Michigan. We'll touch base on that a little bit later. 4-2 Friday, 8-2 on Saturday. Lake Superior versus Bemidji State. Bemidji State getting the win Friday, 7-1 and 5-1 on Saturday. Alaska, Anchorage, Alabama, Huntsville, kind of the bottom feeders here, at least at the time of this matchup. Getting a tie 4-4 on Friday. And Alaska Anchorage 3-1 win on Saturday. And then you mentioned Arizona State, Alaska getting the split. Arizona State losing Friday 3-4 and winning 4-0 on Saturday. And then we already touched base, Minnesota State getting the 3-0 win on Friday and the 2-1 win on Saturday. So and there, but it's like, you touch base, Minnesota State is right now the front runner. And then we have a few supporting cast, we'll call it that way, in the WCHA. You mentioned Northern is a missed opportunity. I do agree with that in some regards because of the Saturday game going into overtime and then losing 5-4. That's against a good St. Cloud State program. So Northern, you got nothing to be disappointed. I mean, one, it's non-conference. It's not hurting them in conference play, which is good. But it's a nice test to see early on, how is the WCHA stacked up against what we've said for the last few weeks as one of the best, if not the best, hockey conference in the country in the NCHC right now, just based on the last three, four national champions. And, you know, this past weekend, Northern competed at a very high level with St. Cloud. So that was a good, from, you know, missed opportunity, but not, you know, it was a decent weekend for Northern. My team of the week for this conference was Bemidji State. Bemidji State, who did not have a great start, but gets two, in my opinion, two big wins because Lake Superior is a good squad, not a strong offensive squad, but defensively, you know, they will stop you a little bit here. And Bemidji State putting up, 13 goals, 12 goals this past weekend, only giving up two, 7-1, like I mentioned, and 5-1. So I had Bemidji State as my team of the week for the WCHA. Minnesota State against the Michigan Tech team, a Tech team that is struggling and has struggled for, you know, some seasons now in the past. And Minnesota State, it's like you just mentioned, they're just firing on all cylinders here. 21 goals right now, four, only giving up seven in the conference. Overall, they got 36 goals so far scored this season. In the conference, the two other teams that are competing with them for goals for, Northern's actually beating them with 39 goals, and Lake Superior's got 34 overall. So there's a lot of offense in this conference. I like it. And we will start seeing, and Tony, you might, you know, let me know if you agree or not, but we will see this conference a little top heavy as we get later into the season. We'll see the five, maybe four teams that are really competing for the number one, number two spot in the conference. And then we're going to see the bottom four, maybe bottom six, who are basically going to, you know, fight for another season, you know, in 2020.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on team of the week as well. Bemidji State, I had them. But I think really this is going to be Minnesota State at the top and then Northern, Alaska, and Bowling Green kind of competing for that two through four spots.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Bowling Green's at the bottom right now. And, you know, I mentioned this before. They're not a strong offensive team, but what they lack in offense, I do believe they make up for it in defensive play. And they will – I mean, it's a team that likes to throw their body around. They will hit, and they're going to try to wear you down. I love that style of hockey, especially in college hockey. It makes it fun because they will agitate the hell out of you. If you are lighting the lamp, they are just going to hit, and make it miserable for you. So they're right now towards the bottom of the conference. I do expect that to change, though. They're 2-2. It's still early. Two teams, though. I mean, not two teams, but, you know, I've been high on Alaska. They're number two in the conference. I still like Alaska to finish in the top three in this conference. But a team that's kind of surprising right now is Alaska Anchorage, who started at the bottom. And they're sitting at five in the conference right now, Tony. I mean, that's nothing to take lightly in the WCHA, in my opinion. You don't sleep on Alaska Anchorage.
Like I said with a lot of the other conferences, it's early. I'm not taking conference standings too much into play yet. 2-2 is a lot different when I want to say Bowling Green, their two losses came to, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, they came to Minnesota State.
Yes.
I think so. So Anchorage, I don't think has Minnesota State hasn't had them on the schedule yet. So it's one of those things we'll even out and we'll see how things come to play once conference play really, really starts to get going.
No, I agree. A program, though, you just hate to see just because of, you know, past seasons, Ferris State just struggling. Coach Daniels down there who had a program. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't they in the national championship like seven, eight seasons ago? I think we were in college still.
That's when they had Chad Billings on defense. Yeah, they had a really good squad. You know, yeah. I think they're struggling because of karma. I think those fans that threw popcorn at you and called you a sellout are the reason they're struggling right now. Karma.
Yeah, well, you know, they didn't take me lightly there when we went into their barn. We'll touch base on that a little bit later. I don't know if that was the same weekend that we met Coach Daniels too at at our favorite pizza joint in Kalamazoo. But you know, that's you know, Coach Daniel, he's a great college hockey coach. Even though we got beef with them because of the old CCHA rivalry, I respect the hell out of what he's done for that program. And it's just kind of – it's just disappointing just to see the last couple seasons how Ferris State has really fared in the WCHA, because Coach Daniels does an outstanding job for that program. And you really hope for not only if you're a WCHA fan but a college hockey fan, as, you know, we get more and more competitive as we, you know, age on in these seasons to come, we hope to see Ferris State again in that national spotlight and competing not only in the conference but nationally as well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, it's not looking good this season, but hopefully they can turn that around in the next few seasons here and really start making their way back into the national spotlight.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
All right, Tony, where are we headed next on this journey of college hockey here?
Let's go back out east. Let's talk Hockey East. One of those old school conferences. And quite frankly, we talk about how deep both like the Big Ten and the NCHC are. I think Hockey East is just as deep, but they have just way more teams. So it makes it stand out when some of the teams aren't doing as hot. They have a lot of really, really great programs right now. They have five teams that are sitting in the top 20. UMass is sitting at number 5. Providence checks in at 10. Lowell's at 12. Northeastern's at 14. BC's at 16, which is up 3 spots from last week. New Hampshire, Maine, and BU are all also receiving votes. So right there, they have 8 teams that are really in discussion for the top 20. Some really great programs. BC had a nice comeback weekend, sweeping UConn. Northeastern got a tie and a win against Merrimack. Lowell with a really great weekend. I think we looked at that Lowell-Maine series, both of us, as being one of the top matchups this week. Lowell got a tie and a win. Providence got a tie and a win against BU. They had a phenomenal week. And then New Hampshire on Sunday defeated UMass. So some really good matchups among some of the top teams last weekend.
No, I agree. And I mean, and I've been talking a lot about conference standings, and just because I love dissecting, you know, where these teams fit, you know, stand after a weekend, where they are in the conference and where they, you know, as we get into the next weekend and who they're playing. So, you know, you see like a team that UMass, who's 6-2 overall and is still in the top 10 nationally, I believe, and they're 8 in the conference right now. And it alludes to what you just said. I mean, we're only 4. I mean, some teams only have 3 games under their belt, where max of 6 games in Hockey East under the belt. UMass only has 4. They're 2-2 in conference. And to me, that doesn't speak volumes on UMass at all, because we're only 4 games in. It speaks volumes, though, to me that this conference is not a 1, 2, or even 3 team heavy conference. UMass, who's a strong, strong team, even after losing Hobie Baker winner McCarr last season to this season from last year, and being in the national spotlight in the national championship last year, and they're continuing that progress into this season, and, you know, sitting at 8 in the conference right now just shows me that, okay, they got 2 losses. That means that they just lost to 2 really good teams. You know, UMass Lowell, like we just mentioned, is playing as good as hockey as anybody right now. Providence is still hanging out there at number 2 overall. They might, in my opinion, next to Minnesota State, might have the second, if not the best, offensive team in the country. I mean, they already have 41
points.
Yeah, 41 goals overall right now in the conference, 26. We're only 6 games into the conference right now. I mean, they have offense for days. What hurts them a little bit is they're getting a lot of offense, but the defense just hasn't been consistent and sharp that you would hope for. But you know, with that kind of offense, sometimes you can get lucky and give up 3-4 goals and, you know, score 7 and get the win. Hopefully that's not what's happening every weekend for them, because that's a lot of offense to produce, and we still got a long season to go. New Hampshire, though, beating UMass on Sunday, like you mentioned, 3-1. Big win for New Hampshire. I did not have New Hampshire actually being top four, top five dog in this conference. Right now they're three. They're struggling right now in the conference scoring, only getting seven goals right now out of four games. Overall, though, they're not bad. 24 goals for, 19 against, 5-2-1 overall record out of eight games. So they're in my opinion, an average team, but they still compete at a high level. I mean, they're in Hockey East, for God's sakes. You mentioned the Maine UMass Lowell series. That was the series that I think you and I both had as the game of the week for this conference, and it did not disappoint. 1-1 tie on Friday, and 3-2 UMass Lowell win on Saturday. Back and forth action the entire weekend. That was just a fun weekend series to watch, and I can't wait for the series to go back to Maine later this season. Because that's just going to be fun to watch how that one plays out, especially when we see where they are in the standings in the conference and nationally. My team of the week, though, Boston College, not so much. I mean, they played a UConn team that's just not a good UConn team, in my opinion. 2-5-1 overall. But Boston College, who hasn't had that great of a start this season, to get a 6-0 win Friday and 5-1 win on Saturday. So they got the offensive legs now back under them, and you hope to, with getting that kind of weekend in under your belt, you can really get the motor going here as we get later and deeper into the season, especially in conference play. So Boston College was my team of the week this past weekend.
Yeah, I went with New Hampshire as my team of the week for their win over UMass on Sunday. I just really want to emphasize how good this conference is this year. There are eight really good teams in Hockey East that are going to compete for the NCAA tournament.
No, I agree 100%. You know, I also want to mention that the BU Providence series, not only a home and home, which are my favorite series, as I mentioned a little bit ago, but Providence and BU, again, it's another program that hasn't gotten to the start that they're normally used to against a, like we just talked about a few minutes ago, probably the best offensive team in college hockey. 3-3 tie on Friday, and Providence gets the 6-5 win on Saturday. Well, BU, I mean, it's like you just mentioned, this is an eight-team conference, at least as we see it right now. And between these eight teams, any one of them can finish anywhere top eight. We don't know right now. Right now, UMass Lowell's on top. That can change by next week, and Northeastern can be on top. You are not kidding when we're talking about the caliber of play and competitive hockey we're getting in Hockey East, and this is just going to be interesting throughout the entire season. We're going to be talking about it all season, how awesome Hockey East is right now. And you know, who's going to come out on top, because we could guess all day and we won't know until the last weekend of the season.
Hockey East did have, I want to give a couple stick taps. David Ferentz from Providence. We talked about how many goals this team is scoring. He had a hat trick on Saturday against BU. And then he also scored two power play goals in the third to send it to overtime on Friday night. So five goals on the weekend for David Ferentz. So that team is putting up so many points, like you mentioned earlier. And then in the BC game, there was another hat trick. Apeli Rassinen had a hat trick for BC in the Saturday night game against UConn.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the scoring leaders right now in the nation. So I got two right now. I got two lists up in front of me. I got the goals and I got points. For goals right now, the top 10, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got, what, 6 to 7 guys in Hockey East right now leading the way in goals. And no surprise, two of them in the top three are from Providence. Number one right now, or tie for one for goals, is from Northern Michigan, Griffin Loran. I might be butchering that last name, and I apologize. And, you know, then tied for second in goals, Greg Prince from Providence. So, I mean, you know, it's like we mentioned, the scoring in Hockey East is just incredible. It points wise though, which is just incredible as well. Top 10 again. It's a lot of Hockey East guys leading the way. Or the I think two guys I touched base last weekend on our show in Providence, Jack Duggan, who's got 24 points on the season right now, who's only a I mean, it's crazy right now. I'm gonna say this before I get into more names. The three top scoring guys in this league in college hockey are sophomores. The amount of offense we are getting from the freshman and sophomore classes this season is incredible. Not something I think we normally see. I mean, we see maybe a freshman and sophomore here and there, but the amount of freshmen and sophomores that are on this list and in on the rosters of all these teams that are contributing offensively, for me, that speaks volumes right now. But Jack, go ahead.
I want to correct an error I had. David Ferentz plays for BU. He's a D-man. He scored 5 goals on the weekend as a D-man.
Holy crap. Well, yeah, stick taps for that guy. That's a hell of a weekend. Going back, so Jack Duggan right now, who's leading the the nation in points, you got to consider him a Hobie Baker finalist right now, front runner. Right next to him, though, is his own teammate Tyce Thompson at 16 points. And then, you know, you go down the list, Matt Brown at UMass Lowell's got 15. And David Ferentz, like you just mentioned, at BU, 14. And it's a lot of offense in Hockey East in the top 10 right now nationally. It's going to be fun to watch how this unfolds because, like I mentioned and like you've mentioned, come the end of the season, we will not know from at least these top 8 teams in Hockey East who's finishing at the top of the conference.
Oh, absolutely. I guess game of the week. What do you have for game of the week?
Game of the week. Let's go down the line. I love the UMass BU matchup right now. That's a home and home series. You know how I love home and home series. That's going to be intriguing. So that's probably my big game. But you know, Hockey East is going to be one of those conferences where I don't think I can pick just one game. For the matchup of the week. I love the New Hampshire Maine matchup. New Hampshire at Maine, and Maine, who's having a strong season to start so far, and New Hampshire coming off a big win Sunday against UMass. That's going to be an intriguing matchup with New Hampshire going into Maine's barn trying to get 2 more conference wins.
I like both of those as well, but the game I'm looking most forward to, the series, I guess, is a home and home Northeastern and Providence.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we said, I don't know how you pick one game in this conference to watch because of all these matchups right now. I'm looking at, I mean, you know, UMass Lowell at Connecticut. All right, we know UMass Lowell is going to probably get the sweep there at Connecticut. You know, sorry, UConn, but, you know, got to face the music here. That's a home-and-home series. BC at Vermont. Vermont's not, they're struggling. I just don't know how else to put it. I mean, they're at bottom of the conference. So, you know, BC, I mean, if you're walking away with nothing less than the sweep there, that says more about you guys than Vermont right now. But outside those two matchups, the rest of the matchups we just mentioned are within the top 8 programs. And I don't know who you think, you know, could win because it could be anybody. It could be a split this weekend. It could be a sweep. We don't know. That's what's so intriguing right now about Hockey East that we've seen so far this season.
Yeah, unfortunately for Vermont, Marty St. Louis and Patrick Sharp aren't walking out of the locker room. So,
those times have been long gone for Vermont, and I don't know if they're waiting for those St. Louis and Sharp Jr. to get there, but they might be waiting a little bit too long for that.
Yeah. You want to jump to the Big Ten?
Yeah, let's do it. Big Ten, you know, like we've said all year, it could be just as intriguing as Hockey East because we have no idea out of the 7 teams who's going to finish on top right now because it could be anybody's game. And I know we have spoken highly on a couple teams here. One that is just shocking right now is Wisconsin, and I know you probably don't want to talk about it as much. But Wisconsin is just – I don't know what happened to them. this past weekend. It's like they lost their offensive identity, and now all of a sudden they're struggling. We knew they were struggling defensively, but you were hoping that offense would kind of carry that defense a little bit that's lacking, and all of a sudden this past weekend, non-existent. I mean, Tony, I don't know if you were able to watch that game, but I mean, what's going on in Wisconsin right now?
This team's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One night they look like the best team in the country, and the other night they look like they can't figure it out. Now, yeah, Omaha is not an easy place to play. They had to travel to Omaha, a team that's playing really well. They got a nice win Friday night to set the tone for the series. But then Saturday night, Omaha bounced back really nicely, defeating the Badgers 5-2. Alex Turcotte had two goals for the Badgers that night. You know, we were talking about it. Cole Caulfield just lately has – it seems like they need him to click for them to click.
Yeah, and, you know, you hate to put that kind of pressure on a freshman who came into the season a highly draft – or a high draft pick this past year. You're agree. I mean, the offense is there overall, 37 goals for, but when you're giving up 37 goals also to your opponents – your 5-5 overall record in your 0-2 right now in the conference. I mean, they only scored 3 goals so far in this conference, and they've given up 10. We're not surprised that they're giving up a lot of goals, but, you know, like I mentioned, it's one of those where we hope the offense can kind of lift that a little bit and you can, you know, squeeze out a little bit more wins here. I thought the Penn State series a couple weeks ago was a little bit of an eye-opener. I think that's when we kind of started seeing Wisconsin – trail off, and then you were hoping this past weekend that wasn't going to be the case, and unfortunately it was. You know, but it's like you said, when Caulfield's playing at his high level, the team is too. And when he's not scoring, the team's kind of looking around going, well, who else is stepping in line here to score? And that's not what you're hoping for, at least in the Big Ten, because of the amount of caliber of play that we're going to get from the remaining Big Ten conference. So Wisconsin, I'm hoping you guys can figure this out down, you know, up in Madison here real soon, because if you can't, this is not going to be a season that you probably hoped it was going to be, like the rest of us probably thought. You know, I mean, Tony, I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think you and I both might have had Wisconsin finishing possibly top 3 in this conference. And right now it's not looking like that.
Yeah, right now they're struggling. But the good news for the Badgers is this week they've got a big one. They've got Notre Dame coming to town. And the nice thing about being this conference is every week you're going to have a nice booster, I guess. The Badgers are 5-5 this season. They're still ranked. They've got a great strength of schedule. I mean, for the pairwise, if they start to win, I think they'll be fine. They've got the talent to do it, but they're going to have to outscore folks. That's the big thing with Wisconsin. We talk about this conference being a dogfight. Just look no forth. Ask Penn State, Michigan State, who's arguably probably the worst team in this conference, and I don't mean that in a bad way against MSU, but in this strength of this conference, but they shut out Penn State Friday night 2-0. Penn State did respond in Penn State fashion, scoring 6 goals on Saturday night to get the win. But again, this is a conference that you can't go into any weekend expecting to get 6 points.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I actually had MSU originally as my team of the week just because they got that shutout at Penn State, which is a tough barn to play in. But I ultimately changed my decision to Notre Dame, and we'll touch base on that in a little bit here. But, you know, Michigan State, I agree with you. They're not the best team in this conference. I had them finishing last. But like I said in the last couple weeks, Michigan State is not a team you want to sleep on, and especially in this conference. They are going to come in and expect to at least get a split. And if you're getting a split with MSU like Penn State did, that's not going to bode well for you later in the season when it comes down to, you know, who's finishing in the top two for the Big Ten. So, you know, Penn State, you know, also intriguing I saw on CHN is that Penn State held a players-only meeting after the loss against MSU on Friday. And that must have done wonders to put up 6 goals the next day and beating the MSU 6-4. So the players only meeting must have worked. I'm a little shocked to see that they did that after a loss early this season, but you know, hey, whatever gets the juices going, and you know, hopefully Penn State will continue that momentum going into this week. But you know, like I just mentioned, my team of the week was Notre Dame because two big comebacks against a very good Ohio State team, and to finish in Notre Dame fashion with two W's, that they're my team of the week. It's hard for me not to pick them after the two big games this past weekend. Not only you get two big wins against a conference opponent, Ohio State, but two big wins against a top 10, maybe top 15 team in Ohio State as well. So Notre Dame is just clicking on all levels right now.
Yeah, I had them as my game of the week too. And I mean, that series I felt was going to be right up there with Denver and UMD as the top series of the week. And it didn't disappoint. If I'm looking at it, so Friday night, it was a one goal game, and then Friday was an OT game, and then Saturday was an overtime affair. Am I correct there?
Yes.
I'm missing out on something. I had the stats for this one. Notre Dame won 3-2 in overtime. Trevor Janicki, sorry if I got that wrong, Trevor, had the game-tying goal with under 2 minutes in the third, and then Pierce Crawford with the game-winning goal for the Irish in overtime. And then Notre Dame scored two third-period goals on Saturday night to beat the Buckeyes in arguably one of the best series of the season thus far.
Yeah, no, that series, I got to watch the Friday game. I didn't get to watch the Saturday game, and it did not disappoint. The action back and forth was fun to watch, and it's going to be fun to watch that series later on this season when Ohio State's got – I'm sorry, not Ohio State. Notre Dame? No, they were at Notre Dame this past weekend, so when they're going at Ohio State later on the season – that's going to be intriguing. Ohio State's definitely going to come out firing, trying to light the lamp here a little bit and get a season split with Notre Dame. Another series that we haven't touched on yet is Minnesota-Michigan. Friday, Michigan gets the tie 1-1 against Minnesota. Minnesota at Yost Arena. And then Minnesota bouncing back on Saturday, getting a 3-1 win, excuse me. And that's a series where I did anticipate a split. I'm still not high on Minnesota just yet. They are a good team. I don't know if they're finishing in the top three this season in the Big Ten. Just on the past seasons we've seen, I'm not sold on them yet. They're struggling defensively. Overall, 24 goals scored, giving up 26, and right now in conference play, 9-9. So right now I'm not sold on Minnesota. I think with the likes of a Michigan who is not also having the best start of the season so far, I have them neck and neck. So Minnesota walking out with a 3-1 win on Saturday and a 1-1 tie from Yost is kind of what I expected that series to be. And Michigan, you know, struggling like Minnesota offensively and defensively, overall 20-20, and in the conference only putting up 5 goals, giving up 9. This is not a conference though, Tony. I mean, maybe you might think differently than me, but I think I'm going to think the same logic as you. We're right now seeing a little bit of a top heavy Big Ten conference. And I hate to use the word or the phrase top heavy because it's only a 17 conference. But we're only 4 games into the conference. Michigan State and Wisconsin have only played 2 games so far in the conference. So I hate using that term right now, top heavy, but right now Notre Dame and Penn State, with 10-9 points respectively in the conference, are right now my heavy favorites. I still think Ohio State's going to finish in the top three. That series against Notre Dame, even though they're walking out with two L's, they played great hockey against Notre Dame, who is easily a top five team, if not top three, the way they're playing right now. So Ohio State is competing at that level with Notre Dame. They have a lot to look forward to this season. So I still have them finishing in the top three. But this is a conference that we've talked about. There's just so much still potential as we get deeper into the season that we won't really know who's going to finish as the Big Ten champion.
No, this is a wide open conference. A lot of time to go. Some teams definitely need to kick it into gear sooner rather than later, but certainly a lot of time. And this is probably top to bottom. I don't think there's a bad team in the conference. Michigan State is just unlucky that they play in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree. Matchup I'm looking forward to right now is Penn State at Minnesota. Minnesota, who, like I mentioned, I still don't think they're that great of a team, but they're always hard to play at their own home barn. And Penn State, who's coming off a split against MSU, going on the road at Minnesota, that's going to be a tough series. That's my matchup to watch for this weekend. What are you looking at?
I always love when Michigan and Michigan State play, being a Michigander myself. Michigan-Michigan State's one I'm definitely looking at for the rivalry's sake. Michigan-Michigan State in football this week as well. But the one for me is Notre Dame at Wisconsin. I touched on it earlier. Notre Dame being the great team they are, and let's see how Wisconsin rebounds.
Maybe Caulfield will actually score a goal this weekend, and the rest of the team will say, oh, shit, we should probably score too.
Yeah,
we'll see how that one works out for them. But, yeah, no, that's going to be a good series to watch. I mean, it's the same like hockey's. All these conference matchups in the Big Ten are going to be fun to watch this year.
I predict that Cole Caulfield is a big weekend.
Big weekend. All right. Well, you heard it here first. Caulfield, don't disappoint. All right, Tony, we got one conference left, and I think, you know, it's one of our favorite conferences to talk about, and that's the NCHC. And once again, the NCHC did not disappoint this past weekend.
No, not at all. I think we got to start out talking about maybe the best matchup of the week, and that was Minnesota Duluth against Denver. Duluth got a tie on, I believe, was it Friday night they got the tie, and then Saturday night picked up the W.
Yep.
I have the information right here. Yeah, Friday night, 3-3 tie. Noah Cates had the game tying goal for UMD with 31 seconds left. UMD then won 5-2 on Saturday night. In their home barn, they scored four unanswered to win it after being down 2-1 to Denver. So great series, two great teams. That could this be a potential national championship preview? Certainly could. But a great start to the season for both of these teams. Good telling tale for each of them. But what did you think about that matchup?
I mean, I love the matchup. I was a little little concerned about the matchup, only for the fact Denver, who was coming into the series extremely red hot, and Duluth, who the weekend prior, I believe, had the weekend off. I always get nervous with those teams when they take a week off. I mean, essentially, that's a two-week break because we're only playing on weekends here in college hockey. And, you know, you especially early in the season when you're still trying to get your legs under you, you hate seeing those early, you know, bye weeks. And Duluth, who got off to a hot start, gets the bye week early and then has to go play a red-hot Denver. Luckily, it was in their own barn, because I think if it was at Denver, I think we'd be talking a little bit of a different, you know, finish here. But Duluth, you know, the bye week did not affect them. You know, the Friday with the 3-3 tie, I don't know if you have on – I don't have it on me right now who got the extra point there in the shootout, because we know NCHC does do that. But then, you know, coming out Saturday, getting five goals on a strong Denver team and only giving up two, you know, essentially walking out what I'll consider kind of a split here off a bye week against – I think Denver at the time was number one in the nation.
I think Denver got the extra point.
Denver got the extra point. But like I was saying, I think Denver going into that weekend was number one, maybe number two in the nation, and Duluth coming off the bye week was still in the top 10 and is still a great team. There was a lot going against Duluth on paper, and it, you know, it didn't disappoint. And Duluth is, again, you know, like we said earlier on the season, it's a strong team, like the rest of the teams in the NCHC. It was a great series to watch. It's going to be fun watching Duluth go to Denver later this season, because you know Denver is going to remember losing 5-2 against this team and going to want to get a little payback there on Duluth.
But and really, when you go into maybe this one of the top teams in the conference and you walk away with 2 out of 6 points, I wouldn't call that a bad weekend even.
No, I wouldn't, especially with the team like a Duluth who I don't think they're in the top five right now because of the bye week might have bumped them down, but they're in the top 10.
Yeah, they're at number six right now.
And, you know, the defending national champion, you know, so Denver has nothing to be disappointed with. And I don't think they'll ever, you know, in this conference, if you walk away with the split, I think we said this earlier this year, if you're walking away with a split in the NCHC, that's a great weekend for you. Because the amount of caliber that we're getting out of the NCHC is very strong, just based on the last 4 or 5 seasons of national championships and the amount of teams we have in the NCHC in the top 10 and top 20 nationally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So moving on from this game, a team that's really had a great start to the season is North Dakota. We all knew Miami was going to struggle this season, and so far they are. But North Dakota off to a great start, number 9 in the country right now, swept Miami. They've got a big matchup this weekend in Denver. That, to me, is the matchup of the week. I also, just put it in there, I have Duluth as my team of the week in the NCHC. But North Dakota off to a great start. I think they're going to be back, hopefully back in the NCAA tournament, and always great to have them in that festivity.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that one. North Dakota, who I don't want to say I wasn't extremely high on, because North Dakota every year and historically has always had a great program. And last season wasn't, I would say, one of their top years, because a lot of players – they lost to the pros, but coming in this year, they had a lot of guys coming back from last year. In this conference, it's just so hard to really predict who's going to come out on top. I had North Dakota, though, in my top 4 this year. I just don't know who out of those 4 would finish at the top. And North Dakota is playing great hockey right now, 7-1-1 overall. They got a great offense going, and they're very strong defensively right now. Overall, have scored 39 goals and then only given up 15. Conference play, like you just mentioned, they swept Miami. Miami is not a good program right now after the departure of Rico Blasi. So they are kind of trying to find their identity now again under a new regime. And Miami, though, is a program historically, they will bounce back. We will see Miami back in the spotlight nationally. It's just going to take some time. Unfortunately, this is what happens when you bring in a new coaching staff and all that. So Miami, who was not a good team, but North Dakota did take advantage of that, getting the sweep. Like you said, 7-1 Friday, 5-4 Saturday. So they're playing really well to start conference play for them. And nationally, what did you say? They're number 7 right now?
9.
9. So they're in the top 10. I mean, another NCHC in the top 10. I mean, we're not.
We got 3.
We got 3 right now. That's not uncommon based on the last couple seasons here. So North Dakota is just continuing it. And, you know, you mentioned at Denver, I had that matchup circled right away when I saw that, because Denver coming off a loss on Saturday to Duluth, you know that their gears are grinding right now. And a red-hot North Dakota team. This has just got offense written all over it. I can't wait to see how the outcome of this. I would not be surprised if this is a split weekend for Denver, North Dakota.
No, I'm with you there. Last matchup I wanted to talk about in the NCHC, we talked a little bit about it, WMU sweeping Ferris. But the thing I want to talk about is the hat trick. And the celebration.
We're talking about the claw.
is this the greatest celebration in the history of hockey?
You know, I remember last year reading about Red Kingston about his hand, and you know, it's such a great story because this kid is playing high caliber Division I hockey at a national level. I believe he was born with only 3 fingers on his right hand, and this kid has not let that stop him. He is playing hockey at such a high level, and offensively for Western, he has been strong so far this season. And last season too, I remember he did have some good games. So it's a great story overall. And like you mentioned, that Selly was, I mean, it's nationally, it's across, I mean, I've been seeing it on Twitter, Instagram, and everything. I think everybody's referring it to it as the Claw. I mean, it was a great, great Selly and a great weekend for Rhett Kingston.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people who haven't seen what happened, I did retweet it to our Twitter account. But he scored a hat trick goal against Ferris State. Great puck movement on that play, by the way. And he takes his glove off and just puts his three fingers in the air. It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the best celebration of all time.
I saw all the Western kids on Instagram, you know, posting that and on Twitter retweeting that. So, you know, that was awesome to see. Western Michigan actually was my team of the week. This is not a biased decision. Western has struggled early on this season. Andy Murray's been mixing up lines. Wade Allison was out of the lineup for a weekend. They have one of the largest senior classes, and yet we have more sophomore freshman players contributing offensively right now with a freshman goalie in net all season so far. I think only Ben Blacker's come in once in relief for Bussey. Western Michigan, though, I know it's a bad Fair State team who's struggling, but that rivalry – going back to the CCHA doesn't disappoint. I watched Friday's game and it was a nasty game. These guys were beating up on each other. I was loving it. It was bringing me back to the home at home series that we used to go to when we were in college at Western. It was fun to watch Western. You know, it was going back and forth to Friday. I believe it was like, it was 1-0 or 2-0. And Ferris came back and tied it up. Western though came out on top 4-2. At home Friday in front of the Lawson Lunatics, best college hockey student section in the country there. You know, I am biased towards that. and then going to Ferris, that's a tough barn to play in. And it was a game that started off a little slow. It was back and forth pace. I believe it was a 1-1 tie going into about middle of the second period. And then Western's offense just erupted in the third period. I think they had maybe 3-4 goals with what seemed like in the span of less than 5 minutes. And Rhett Kingston got the Hattie there, like you mentioned, with the incredible Selly. Western Michigan walked away with an 8-2 win. And, you know, that this was the weekend I thought that Western kind of needed to get back in that national spotlight. They were taken out of the top 20 in the USCHO. Over the last couple weeks, and now I believe this week they're back at number 20 right now. So, you know, after a preseason being in the top 12, top 15, and then getting out right away after a couple bad weekends, but getting that sweep against Colorado College, or not the sweep, I'm sorry, the getting 5 out of 6 points at CC, and then the sweep at Ferris. This is the turnaround that Western really was looking forward to and really needed. Especially with an Omaha team that's coming into town this weekend. And it's an Omaha team that is a good team. So Western really needed that. And you're looking for Western to keep feeding off of the last 2 weekends offensively, because they've had now 4 strong offensive games after struggling offensively through the first four or six games.
Absolutely. And I do have that game circled as well. Anytime you have 2 ranked opponents, it should be a great matchup. And anytime there's points on the line in the conference matchup, it's a great matchup. Moving away from the NCHC, is there anything else you want to talk about in that conference before we move on to our only independent?
No, just real quickly though. You know, Colorado College at St. Cloud is a matchup that I think everybody should keep their eye on, because Colorado College is not that bad of a team. And we've mentioned that in years past, in past episodes. Coach Havlin has that program turned around, and I like what he's doing down there in CC. St. Cloud, who's coming off a 3-3 tie and a 5-4 win against Northern at Northern. So, you know, I'm looking at CC at St. Cloud as a good matchup to watch this weekend. But we both agree that we do have North Dakota and Denver as the matchup of the week. So that's all I got for the NCHC, at least for this week.
Perfect. So jumping into Arizona State, this is interesting. I was doing a little bit of digging on the Sun Devils. They've rebounded really nicely after a 1-3 start. Now, two of those losses were in Mankato to Minnesota State. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt. And I mean, it seems like every single team, though, has that one loss. You just scratch your head of how did they lose that game? They split early in the year to Mercyhurst. Now, they're off for a couple weeks. They don't play again until the day after Thanksgiving, or Black Friday, as we know it down here in the States. But then after that, they play every single week. Maybe I read it wrong, but it looks like they play every single weekend from the day after Thanksgiving until February 22nd. Now, that's just insane. And I mean, it works out that I believe New Year's and Christmas fall on Wednesdays, I think, this year. So they're able to play right around those. They've got some big games. They've got home games against Denver, Harvard, and RIT, and they take trips to Omaha, Clarkson, and to Madison to play the Badgers. So they've got some big games. This is a team that I think really needs to be sitting, once it comes to championship weekend, in the top 10, top 12, if they want to make it to the big dance. Let's just say this. Somebody pick this team up. Let's get them in a conference, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this for the last couple of years. We're not fans of independent hockey programs in college hockey. And for this exact reason, this is a good Arizona State program. And the only way they're making it into the playoffs here and for the Frozen Four battle is they got to finish in the top 12. I mean, that's just – they got to do it. They cannot have bad weekends later in the season, because if they're outside that top 12, then it's a crapshoot on are they going to get into the Frozen Four playoffs or not, because now you're just banking on certain teams finishing in their conference playoffs either poorly or not winning their conference championship or whatever the case will be. So it's unfortunate. I agree with you. You know, a conference needs to pick this team up. I know in the last couple of seasons, it's been rumored that the NCHC was thinking about it, or they want to be in the NCHC. And I know that the NCHC right now likes just having an 8-team conference. I think if they get another team out there, out in the Midwest or the West, to make it a 10-team league, I think that maybe we'll see that transition. But until then, I don't know who's going to really pick up Arizona State right now. And it's just unfortunate because of it's probably, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's because really it's just the travel, because then you got the two Alaska schools who are in the WCHA who are traveling across the country half the season, it seems like.
Don't forget about Huntsville too.
And Huntsville too. So, you know, we'll see who decides to take on Arizona State. You know, I've read a couple articles in recent years that there might be another reshuffle with the WCHA, that the likes of Bowling Green and maybe a couple other schools in that conference are thinking about wanting to go elsewhere in the NCHC or somewhere else. So we'll see if that ever happens. We don't see a lot of reconfiguration in hockey conferences this often or as often. As maybe other sports like basketball and football have in recent years. So I don't anticipate this being something that we'll see a huge reconfiguration. But, you know, if we do see more club teams and Division III or Division II programs make the transition to Division I, well, then that sparks the conversation of, we got to get these other teams in a conference as well. So we'll see how that bodes, you know, as the years come on. But I agree, you know, we got to get Arizona State in the conference. They're competing at a high level. This is not a team that you just beat on, get your weekend sweep, non-conference sweep, and then, you know, move on. I mean, Arizona State comes in, competes, and has been competing last year, had their best season to date at the Division I level. And, you know, they – got swept against Minnesota State, which not really surprising, as Minnesota State's really, you know, has so far been one of the best, if not the best program in college hockey. They've beaten up on Air Force, beaten up on Quinnipiac, and then they split against Alaska. But it's like you said, after the next week or two. They're I'm looking at their schedule right now, and they are playing every weekend to finish out the season. They got no breaks, and they got teams, some interesting matchups here. You mentioned Denver. The one I'm looking at right now that's going to be intriguing is Harvard, because Harvard's offense right now is looking very, very good. End of December, right after Christmas, before New Year's, you got to go to Harvard and play against that offense. That's going to be interesting. You mentioned Clarkson, excuse me, and then they got to finish the year in Madison. It's going to be a tough road for Arizona State, but it's like you mentioned, they're going to have to finish in the top 12 nationally to really solidify a playoff position here, because the pairwise will potentially screw them out of something because they're not in the conference.
Well, hey, if the guys in when they're for Arizona State, when they make that trip to Madison, you and I know a good cigar bar down there, hey?
Yes, we do. And if they need tips, maybe we can convince them to take Caulfield out, because it seems like Caulfield is the reason why Wisconsin will win or not win.
I think he just needs a little bit of Mickey's Dairy Bar before all of his games, get a nice scramble, and he'll be all set to go. That can be his pregame meal.
Or what's that pizza joint that we went to?
Oh, get some Ian's. Get some mac and cheese pizza.
Yeah, there we go.
Maybe get I doubt he's of age, but get a brandy old fashioned and a fish.
Yeah. But all right, Tony. So, I mean, I think this is our time where we transition to women's hockey here now.
Yeah, not a lot happened in women's hockey this past weekend. One of the big conferences, the WCHA, pretty much every team had off. Just kind of going through the rankings, Minnesota sits number one in the country right now. They take on Bemidji State this weekend. Number two, Wisconsin takes on Minnesota State. Cornell, the ECAC, again in women's, playing different matchups. They play Yale and Brown. Big matchup last weekend, though. We didn't get a chance to talk about it mainly because of our connection problems. But Cornell and Clarkson played, and it didn't disappoint. It was a tie, Cornell and Clarkson. Number four, Northeastern, they will take on New Hampshire. But to me, one of the games of the week next week is actually next Tuesday. So it's kind of in that weird midweek spot. They will travel to Boston College to take on the Eagles on Tuesday. They did beat Holy Cross last Friday. Clarkson will take on Mercyhurst. BC at BU, big matchup. BU's just outside the top 10 receiving votes. Like I said before, the game of the week with Northeastern. Number seven, Ohio State will take on Minnesota Duluth. I have that as a game to watch. Princeton at Union, NRIP. Princeton's number eight in the country. And then number nine, Harvard will take on BU in New Hampshire. So not a lot's happened. It's kind of not a lot going on this week. Minnesota we didn't really get too much of a chance to talk about it. Minnesota and Wisconsin in the border battle. Minnesota got the victory on Friday and then won on a shootout on Saturday. This was a few weeks back. Really sick goal by one of the Gophers to win the shootout and get the extra point for the Gophers to put them number one in the WCHA and also in women's hockey. But a lot going on. We also tweeted something. It should really be known. They've come out with a Players Association for women's professional players. Definitely take a look at it. Really well done video. Budweiser Canada has come out and put some money into it. We really need the women's professional game to get going. Recently, the Canadian Professional League folded. Right now, all we have is the NWHL, which is the American Women's Professional League. But hopefully we can get something going here within the next year or two, have a great professional game for our women to play.
No, I agree. I definitely saw the post there that was going around viral, that video. I definitely took a look. You know, women's hockey is something that, you know, I hope continues to grow. It's a shame to see the one Canadian league, you know, close up here. So we're hoping that, you know, not just us, but, you know, I know there's other women professional hockey fans that are hoping that, you know, this continues to thrive and expand the game here in women's hockey, because you know, women's hockey is fun to watch. It's not the same, you know, with the men's where you get a lot of hitting. What I love about women's hockey is the offensive and defensive strategy. It's a lot of passing. It's a lot of puck moving, breakouts. I mean, if you want to see tic-tac-toe passing and offensive caliber, you want to watch women's hockey, not only at the professional level, but the college level. I mean, some of these women in college hockey are just incredible to watch. You mentioned the shootout winner. I saw that go viral this past weekend, and we'll tweet that out later this week. That video clip, that was, I agree, that was a sick goal to for the shootout. You mentioned a couple games you were keeping your eye on. One that I, you know, I'm not as well in depth as women's hockey. I'm working my way into your level there, Tony, but one matchup I'm intrigued to see how it turns out is the Minnesota Duluth at Ohio State, because I know Ohio State historically in the last few seasons, women's hockey's had a very good program. I see that they're sitting at number two in the WCHA with Duluth at number four. So I think that's going to be a fun matchup for women's hockey. You know, but there's a lot of good matchups that I'm looking at right now that for women's hockey is going to be fun to watch here. You know, and for, you know, as we're on the topic of women's hockey, I'm not releasing any names, but we do have a big interview coming up, Tony, you're aware of it, in the next few weeks here. Hopefully we'll get that solidified and we'll have that released, but it's going to be a fun, our first big interview, with a former women's, college hockey, player, big time player in college hockey. So, check it out in a few weeks here when we get that interview ready. I know I'm excited, Tony. I know you're excited for that interview as well. So I can't wait for that to actually happen. We get that released here later on in the season. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. A couple names I want to mention in the women's game. I may have mentioned them earlier. There's a good chance that Daryl Watts for Wisconsin could win the Patty Kazmir Award for the second time in her career. She's a junior right now, and she would have won it. If she does, it would be the second team she's won it with. She won it as a freshman at BC. I believe she currently leads the nation in scoring. And to me, the best player in college hockey, I might be biased in women's college hockey. I might be biased because she's also a Youper like me. But if you ever get the chance to watch Abby Rock from Wisconsin play, my God, she is good. She's got great hands. She's great all around. I feel she's always right at the top of the WCHA in points.
Yeah, you know, I definitely will be checking that out and checking her out, her highlight reel so far this season. That name has – I've seen that name across Twitter quite a few times in the last couple of weeks. So that is someone I would definitely be checking out. And we're definitely going to keep, you know, our tabs on women's hockey as we get going into the season, because women's hockey does not disappoint. It is fun to watch, and it's going to be fun to see – you know, how this one plays out in women's hockey for us this season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One last thing I want to get out of you. Fun question. I was thinking about it today because I got an email about my Winter Classic jersey, and it got me thinking about some of my favorite games I've ever been to. What's your favorite college hockey game you've ever been to, Matt?
Oh man. Wow. That's an interesting question. You know, I've been to quite a few hockey games. Obviously, I've been to a lot of in majority of Western Michigan, being an alum. That's, you know, that's no shocker there. A fun, just because of the atmosphere and the history behind it. Last year, I got to go to the outdoor game, Michigan Notre Dame at Notre Dame. That was just a fun game to watch. It was a close game too. Seeing two former, I mean, they're current Big Ten rivals, but former CCHA rivals. I was wearing my Western Michigan jersey, obviously. I did get a shout out walking into the stadium, so that was pretty cool. So CCHA fans are still living large in college hockey. I've been to a couple outdoor games, though. Miami, Notre Dame, Western at Miami, or Western and Miami, both at Soldier Field. But it's so hard. I would have to say, though, my favorite hockey game is the CCHA championship. Western getting the CCA championship in 2012. I don't know how I could top that. Just that season alone for Western Michigan. I'm 100% biased when I say this. I'm sorry for all fans that are going to listen to this, but that was an incredible season for Western. With Andy Murray, I believe that was his first season after Jeff Blashill had just left after 1 year under his belt. We had a solid defensive team. Freshman Frank Slabowski in that making SportsCenter top 10 saves. The offense was incredible. We had everything going for us that season. Unfortunately, it fell short. I believe we ended up losing to Denver, I think it was, in the first round, who Denver was a stellar program at the time when we had to face them in the first round.
That year is North Dakota. The year before is Denver.
Oh, that was North Dakota?
Yeah, the year before against Denver was a double overtime.
Yeah. Okay, so that was the one. But my that was, at the Joe Western, first had to, was it, we had to beat Miami in the semifinals?
Yep. Yeah.
And then we had to play Michigan in the finals. And those two programs at the time were top 10, top 15 programs in the nation, the way they were playing. They had NHL players all day on that roster. I remember Miami had Riley Smith at the time, who was lighting the lamp against us. And they had, I believe it was a young Austin Zarnik, if I'm not mistaken, freshman at the time too. And Michigan had, the likes of Kevin Lynch and a really good goaltender at the time. So to get the
Sean
win against,
Hunwick.
Yeah, to get the win against a Big Blue at the Joe, St. Patty's weekend too, I believe. That game I'll never forget. So if I had to pick one game, that's that game, CCH Championship 2012, hoisting the Mason Cup. That was that. Not only was that one of my probably my all-time favorite season in college hockey, because the Lawson Lunatics were going wild that season, and we were at Western, but that CCH championship was just the icing on the cake for that season for me. So that's the one I got to pick. I mean, how about you? I know you've been to quite a few college hockey games.
Well, that was also indirectly the start of this podcast, right?
Pretty
much the start of our friendship, right? Yeah, I mean, that for me, it's impossible to touch that one. That is my all-time favorite memory. I actually have hanging up in my room the newspaper clipping. Shout out David Drew, former columnist for WMU and for the Kalamazoo Gazette. Excuse me, I couldn't think of the paper, sitting right here. Headline: "The long wait's over." So that one's definitely my favorite. But some great ones, like also the best pregame festivities would have to be the Miami WMU game at Soldier Field. Hanging out with your uncles, and I think your cousins were there and your dad was there, and Eric didn't want to go into the game because he wanted to keep drinking with your uncles. That was a fun time. But a couple other ones, I had the opportunity, I want to say it was in the 2010-2011 season, to go to the Big Chill at the Big House. It was the Michigan State game. I was sitting front row in the Michigan student section. For that game, it was an absolutely incredible experience. I'm surprised my toes didn't fall off. They were so cold. had the opportunity a couple years ago to go to the Women's Frozen Four in Minneapolis at Ritter Arena. Unfortunately, not the results I hoped for the Badgers, but it was an incredible game nonetheless, incredible experience. So those are probably my top three. I will say, though, one game I will never forget. You were probably there, Matt. It would have been my sophomore year, your freshman year, the 2010-2011 season. The game that WMU kind of re-entered the picture after having been really not relevant in maybe 20 years at that point, 15, 20 years. It was against Michigan State, and the entire student
section. I had a feeling
were
you were
going
to say that.
They were not big fans of Torrey Krug, let's just say.
Oh, nope. I remember exactly where I was sitting that weekend. I was with our buddy Ben in the corner of the arena. This is before I realized
also,
where I needed to sit with the Lawson Lunatics.
Can we edit out the shout out to Ben? He doesn't need any publicity.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, no, he gets enough of it as it is, I'm sure. No, I remember exactly where I was that week. I think that might have been my first ever Western Michigan hockey game, and what a week, you know, way to enter college hockey and the Western season. And I do remember exactly saying at the end of that game that I was going to become the Lost and Lunatic leader in the next 2 years. And that actually did happen. So, because that was the first time I got to see the Lost and Lunatics in action. Did not disappoint. Hands down, the best student section in college hockey. There's a lot of good student sections out there. Lost and Lunatics are number one, though. I'm sorry for all the other college hockey fans. If I'm biased, I'm biased against towards the number one student section. That is, I mean, there's no other student section that goes the length of the ice.
Yeah, and you know, that game, it was just, I'll never forget. I think it was Jake or Dean Chelios took a penalty that ended up resulting in the game-winning goal scored by Ben Warda, who was a transfer from Michigan State. Just icing on top of the cake, and then the chance we had to whatever Chelios boy it was pretty good.
I think there was a daddy's boy chant to Jake there, and yeah, the Lost and Lunatics were not fans of Torrey Krug that game or that weekend. If I remember correctly, he got hurt two or three times and just kept coming back. And at some point, I think the Lost and Lunatics thought he was just pulling and yanking the Western legs there, just trying to slow play up. which we commonly see that in football. You don't see that in hockey. So I don't know if that was the case, but yeah, that's when Torrey Krug, I think, and the Lost and Lunatics became best friends that weekend.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, he was pretty close. If he wasn't, he was pretty high up there in the Hobie Baker.
He did, and I don't know if his season was cut short because of an injury that kept him from a Hobie Baker. I'm not 100% sure on that. That was quite a few years ago. I would have to do some research. But, you know, we've talked about, you know, real quickly, you know, Michigan State, you know, they've had great programs in the past. I mean, then arguably one of the greatest coaches in Ron Mason in college hockey history at MSU. And that was a Michigan State team that those were great years for them. They had great, great players on that roster. And they were always in the top three, top four for the CCHA at the time. And when they were in town for Western, or we had home and homes against Western, those were fun matchups. That's why I missed the CCHA so much. Those were fun matchups at the time. I love college hockey where they're at now, but you know, it's hard not to get a little nostalgic when you talk about CCHA hockey.
So I just looked it up, and he was an all CCHA performer, but was not a Hobie Baker finalist. Hobie Baker finalist that year might be the best college hockey player I got to witness, and that was Andy Mealy.
Oh yes, I do. Miami great. You know, and I think, you know, I had a cousin that went to Miami and got to watch Andy Mealy play hockey for quite a few years. And maybe we'll see if we could get him on the podcast later on this season to talk some Miami hockey, because Miami had glory days, definitely. And I definitely want to talk to him because he was a student when I believe it was Nick Bonino crushed their hopes in the national championship, that I like to bring up a lot to him.
Maybe we can get him as the third guy on the podcast, and we make the trip up to Wausau in January.
Yeah, I think we might need to do that. You know, we need to get a Miami guy on here, get another perspective on the show.
Also, in 2012, Torrey Krug was in the top 10. He was a top 10 finalist for Hobie Baker.
Yeah, and you know, real quickly, you know, I know when we were students at Western, we hated Torrey Krug. We hated the name. We hated seeing him on the ice. You know, we're hockey fans. Let's just put that out there. You know, we get caught up in the atmosphere at Lawson Arena or whatever arena you're at. That's college hockey. That's why I love college hockey so much, is the student section is such a huge part of it, and the atmosphere. So, you know, at the time, I hated Torrey Krug, but when he was not playing against Western, I hands down, you know, said it for that season and seasons to come, was one of the best defensemen in college hockey. And, you know, he was not drafted, and Boston signed him, and Boston got a hell of a player. He played in Providence for a couple seasons. He was brought up for the playoffs, if I remember, playing with Zdeno Chara. I mean, I don't know how you don't, you know, that is one hell of a way to start your careers. Come up, and you next thing you know, you're paired with what is a future Hall of Famer in Zdeno Chara in Boston. And he's had a great professional career as a Boston Bruin. So good for Torrey Krug. You know, we're happy for him, you know, what he's done so far in his career. And big things, I know, are still yet to come for him. So good for him. And, you know, that's the type of caliber player that I know Michigan State is hoping to get back, you know, because those were the years that Michigan State was really making runs, not only in the CCHA, but in the national rankings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Matt, that's really all I have for you. Star second period's about to hit up. I got a glass of some Pink Whitney right now in my Cubs World Series championship mug. Never forget. But yeah, we're thankful for all of our listeners out there. We're new to this. We love to get some feedback. We want to make sure this is as great as it can be. We want you to enjoy what you're listening to and not just us rambling. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter. We have our Matt, what's the handle for Hockey in the Class? It's Classroom Hockey at Classroom Hockey.
At Classroom Hockey. Yes, hit us up with any questions, highlights, you know, anything, and feedback. We want to, you know, it's like you just said, we want the feedback. We're new to this. You know, last week the episode did get scratchy on my end. I, you know, 100% apologize to our listeners out there. We are working through that. Hopefully this week we do not have those issues or as frequently as we did last week. And hopefully, you know, as we get later into the season, this podcast gets a lot smoother, especially when we start bringing on, you know, guests for our interviews here that we have coming up. But, you know, we appreciate all the listeners so far and the supporters, that are helping us grow, the Hockey in the Classroom, name so far this season. You know, cannot be more thankful right now, for our supporters out there. So yes, no, Tony, you hit it on the head. You know, thank you all for the patience, and we are going to keep improving and getting better at this as we get into the season.
Also, Matt, how can they reach you? What's your Twitter?
You know, that's a good question. When my I got so many Twitters that I look at, people can hit me up, at what's my Twitter handle here? Let me look it up here in a second.
It's M_Wally88.
Yep. You can hit me up there. Or like you said, DM us or tweet at us at Classroom Hockey. We are looking to get an Instagram up here started shortly here. So we will have that posted, what our handle is on Instagram as well. We will be looking to on Instagram post, you know, highlight, you know, clips that we see throughout the week and the weekend. And, you know, possibly, you know, we'll be filming our podcast here shortly, and give you a little, you know, glimpse of, you know, what Tony and I are doing as we're recording and taking notes here, because we're following college hockey throughout the week, and we're constantly researching, to bring you guys as much content and information to this podcast as possible. I mean, Tony, how can they hit you up? Cause you know, this is not a one man show here.
Nah, you can find me at TRingo12, at TRingo12. So that's where I'm at. Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, that's it really.
Yep. On Instagram, you can hit me up on at MW or MWall88. So it's very simple. I got that one more simple than my Twitter handle. I don't know why. But yep, no, that's all I got for you, Tony. You know, we'll see how this weekend plays out in college hockey, and looking forward to next week's episode.
Absolutely. And with the holidays kind of getting close to us, I think you should learn to drink your Ovaltine.
Well, I will keep that noted.
All righty. Class dismissed.
Yeah. Have a good one.